at the end of the day, I walked away saying, there, if you're going to travel for a music festival, this is just as good a place as any. Mexico City is a 2-hour longer flight, and everything is cheaper there.
Glad to see they're planting grass, which I still think is funny to be talking about grass. Not that kind of grass on the farm, but it's still funny.
I think they are probably going to be on the Bonnaroo lineup this year, if not very soon.
Yeah, you heard it here first. She's been saying this since the show. The next big thing in pop music is this band, which I still don't hardly know.
And the other big news, we now know who the Thursday night headliner is. Welcome back to the Wet Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ. That's Beth on the West Coast. That sounds like a title. Sounds like a name. Beth on the West Coast. I like it. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Good. I had a show last night, so I'm awake and ready to go on the West Coast.
Doesn't sound like everybody else is. That was the should we do that again?
I've been
hey
gone.
Guys, how are you?
Great.
I was great. Listen, everybody's giving me shit for talking too much, so I'm like,
I know, but I didn't expect that. That was a thud. Like, did my computer just die?
I'm doing excellent, Barry, to answer your question.
Hooray.
I'm doing fantastic.
I know Russ is exhausted. I'm exhausted. Russ is packing up. Look at him. He's getting ready to move. He's closing on his house on Monday. I finally finished the bathroom this morning. The ladder is down in the basement. I'm never getting on a ladder ever again, but nobody cares. So anyway, that's what we got going. The big news. Here's the big news. We're going to talk about Bonnaroo. We're going to talk about Ruse Clues. We're going to talk about Mexico City and Corona Capital, where Brian and Beth got back, how long? 5 days ago?
Five days. Well, right at a week, I guess, at this point. We'll just, you know, we'll jump into that in the second segment of the show. Spoiler, it was amazing. like it was incredible.
I can't wait.
It was fabulous.
I can't wait, but the big news, Bandanas are back. We all
bandanas
agree, right?
Back.
That is the big news. Bandanas are back.
Bandanas are back.
I'm kidding.
No, I mean, people are freaks for this stuff.
I'm one.
Yeah. Listen.
Yeah, we did a whole episode on this, so yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, poor Brad. Brad Parker, he's got to be so mad.
If I was a writer, Barry, writing a column, I would already have it half, you know, two-thirds in the bank ready for everybody complaining who doesn't get one when they run out at the toll booth,
yep,
or get in late or whatever. The box doesn't show up at Plaza 6 or whatever it is. That story is already on file, and I'm ready to send it to my publisher because that's what's coming next.
And the trade value. What are they worth? What are you trading?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
anyway.
It seems weird they wouldn't just toss it in the envelope and send it with the wristband, but hey,
yeah,
I'm fine with it either way. But somebody's not going to get one, and somebody's going to be angry, and it's going to start a fire on Reddit.
You know, I mean, we're joking. I'm joking, but to me, they are important because they are so symbolic of Bonnaroo. So I'm glad they're back.
I love them. Yeah. I love them. I found them. You've been cleaning the bathroom. Russ has been cleaning every house in the city. And I've been in the garage. I found a stack of them. And I thought, I can't wait to get my
I wear them. Mm-hmm. I wear them. And the other big news, we now know who the Thursday night headliner is.
Yeah, we were told there's going to be just a low-key Thursday night welcome party. But now we're getting Skrillex.
Yeah, I think my guess is they changed on the fly. I mean, when we talked to Brad and Corey right afterwards, nobody knew anything at that point.
Yeah,
they were just starting to throw things on the wall. And it sounds like, I don't want to say a hard pivot because it sounds like there's still not a Thursday, which is a bummer to me still. But pretty nice name. Beth, your thoughts?
I think they pivoted the same way they did with Luke Combs, that Skrillex said yes, and they didn't totally expect that. It was a wish list item, and so they're happy to have him, and they're building it around Skrillex.
Yeah.
Legacy EDM act at this point.
That's what I think. And I mean, not my particular genre, but I can't imagine anything bigger or better.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like going front to back instead of ending with a sort of legacy style artist. It is kind of weird to say Skrillex's legacy, but he kind of is.
Yeah.
But starting with that, that I think that's a good move. I think that's a good strategic move to get early excitement before the lineup, which we're expecting, I don't know, hopefully soon. And I think that's a nice little bump of online activity, buzz out on the, you know, the proverbial streets. And so, you know, I think it's a very good move. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to put myself on the farm on that Thursday. I mean, we're not going to have Tuesday. Wednesday, right? Moving in?
Yeah, move-in day, I guess.
A little bit.
Yeah, Wednesday will be for, you know, moving. They're going to let campers in, but apparently they're going to put a cap on how many people come in Wednesday.
Right. And so, as they've said, nothing Thursday day, and then a big blowout. So, I mean, I'm just trying to picture what else. I mean, everybody's going to be super excited is where I'm going. And I can't think of a better blowout act maybe than Skrillex. So.
Well, part of it could be is if they're trying to – feels like they're trying to re-stagger the way that the flow of the crowd gets into the venue from the start, you know, from the jump. And if it's more Wednesday into Thursday, well, that gives people all day. It's almost a new version of crowd control. Mm-hmm. You get kind of a day and a half to get people in, and then they can slowly, at their own pace, set up, get to the stage. You know, half the people aren't going to make it to the Skrillex show. I mean, that's just the nature of Bonnaroo. You have to. I'm going to Skrillex. 100 million of us are all going, and then only 20,000 are there in the field because that's just how it works. Not everybody's going to.
Yeah,
make
I'm surprised Skrillex isn't the Sunday closeout.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of backwards, but I think it's a good move. I do too. So.
I think it's going to be great. We've had some other Rucluse as well, right? What else we got?
Yeah, I haven't seen this one. I don't know.
You want to go? You want to play it now?
Yep, let's do it.
Yes, please.
Okay, all right.
Hello, you've reached Bonnaroo Mystery Services. Please hold while Bonna Clara gazes in her crystal ball to see what's in store for you.
See your sight softening while the world hums slow. In your peripheral vision, everything glows a little bit brighter and turns a little sweeter. You will lose balance for a second and then find peace in the sway. Embrace the dizziness.
Well, of course, I have no idea what I just heard.
maybe Pretty Lights again? Pretty Light Swirls, right? You probably already know because Reddit's told you what this would be.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be Turnover, which is another one I'm not familiar with.
Good old Turnover.
There you go.
Wow. We are ready for June, baby. Why can't the Rucluse ever be Fleetwood Mac?
Yeah.
or something, yeah.
I had to check my notes because there was also Turnstile was leaked from the Owl as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know that. I know that band name, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I feel pretty certain that we're going to know all of this sooner rather than later. All of the universe, the Bonnaroo universe, indicates that we're going to get this pretty soon.
The other one I'm excited about is apparently Weird Al's going to be on the lineup.
Yes, I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Weird Al.
It's all shaky knees, right?
By all indications that he will be, because he has I just saw it yesterday. It's almost a 100-day tour next year. I mean, this guy's in his mid to late 60s almost at this point.
Yeah.
And he'll be in Chattanooga, by the way, Barry. Maybe we'll go together.
Let's do it.
I would love to see him in Chattanooga.
But that's not till the end of next year. It's almost a year away. So the middle of the proximity clause, whatever that even is at this point in our lives, who really knows? Sometimes it's not.
I think it's out the window.
Yeah, it's mostly out the window anyway. But he's nowhere near the South in the summer, and he's off in June completely. So you're telling me he's going to be all over the country?
No, he does have a date in June, and it says TBD.
Okay, well, there you go.
Even better. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
So not a secret they're trying to keep very, very well, but so that'll go over well. That'll be fun. That'll be really cool.
All right. Well, random out of nowhere, I know who I want to see on the farm this summer is Florence and the Machine. I don't know if you guys have heard her new record, but it's so good. And I've heard it, and I've thought about it, and on my list, My Morning Jacket is the perfect Bonnaroo band, but I think Florence and the Machine is right there. They're just such a great festival act. So,
yeah, her and her band haven't been here in a little while.
It's been a while.
So it should be about time for that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I bring that up other than that's who I want to see. So
next time we talk, we might know. So now's the time. Now's the time to speculate, right?
I hope so. And we also got a little bit of video from your buddy, Justin. We kind of talked about it. Russ and I did last week, his video of the farm, some of the changes, and got a lot of comments. Saw a lot of comments this week from people glad to see they're planting grass, which I still think is funny to be talking about grass, not that kind of grass, on the farm, but it's still funny.
Well, if you love grass, you're going to love this one.
So one of the main things we did right away this year was we planted 135 acres of Bermuda around the Plaza 3 and Plaza 2 areas, as well as down into the venue.
Hi, my name's Dale Green. I'm the head groundskeeper at the Bonnaroo Music Festival. I've been here since 2001. Well, we used to have fescue, and when it gets hot in the summertime, the fescue does not grow as well. It goes in shock because of the heat.
One of the strengths of the Bermuda grass is that if we do get rain, its ability to absorb water in its root system, because at that time of year it's growing and it's thirsting for water.
Bermuda loves hot weather, so hopefully this is going to be a better carpet for people to be able to walk on and enjoy a whole lot more than what the fescue does.
Love it.
Barry, you're the home owner, fixer-upper guy. Is that right on the ground? I mean,
absolutely.
They know, yeah, that's the
absolutely.
Better stuff, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's important, as Russ and I talked about last week. We don't think about that until you think about it, because it's either muddy or dusty. And they've thought about it, and this fixes a lot of that.
Fescue, such a cool word.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means from one grass to the next.
It's more the carpet, as he said. Fescue, I think, is the one that turns brown in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't grow. It, like, seemingly never grows. It
goes dormant.
It goes dormant.
But it takes a, traffic, heavy traffic. So pretty important. That's good stuff. So,
well,
there you go.
They're doing all the right things. They're doing all the right things. If it rains like that, we're screwed. It doesn't matter what kind of grass you got on the ground. If it rains like it did this past year, it's going to be a major problem. Justin was telling me on the phone last year that it was a field of dreams. I mean, he meant it. He's like, man, I can't wait for you guys to see the place. So they're trying. Everybody's doing the right things.
Right.
We just need to make sure we don't, we need to make sure like we have any control over it. But it's, You get that kind of weather, and we're going to have problems. We're not going to have that kind of weather. It's going to be a great year.
Yeah,
it's going to be wonderful. I cannot wait.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so we're back. Literally, Brian, you and Beth are back. You've been out of the country a week ago. You were in Mexico City at the Corona Capital Festival. In Mexico City, on behalf of the What Podcast, as special guests. Thanks. I know you're going to reach out and say thanks to Chris Vineyard For putting this together. Chris and I go way back. He was like my first contact or second contact at Bonnaroo in 2002. So I've known Chris a long, long time. Good dude. Did you write?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, very, very right. Before I take over here, Beth, you just open up here with your initial thoughts on the trip to Mexico City.
Well, one thing about Chris that I realized, a little bit of trivia, I searched my email for an Uber code on the last day, and my first arena show that I shot, I actually went through Chris. It was for Kings of Leon. And so I found an email from 2014 from Chris helping me get access to Kings of Leon. So it was kind of a full circle moment with Chris. It was awesome.
I think the questions that I had before you left were, how does it compare with the, you know, any other festivals that you've been to? But just also want to hear the highlights. So
we'll definitely get to. But first of all, we're burying the lead here. Look at this.
I got my swag too. I got a free shirt. They left a shirt for us in the hotel room.
Yeah. Forget. So. Thank you for that in the hotel room. Look at this.
Yes.
Nice.
Look at this. It doubles as a Christmas shirt. I'm an ugly Christmas sweater too. I'm a Mexico soccer fan. Just a fabulous trip all the way around. And if you are an audio only listener, I implore you to check out the YouTube and Spotify feeds of the video, because there'll be quite a few shots of the grounds. And if you are curious as to what this place looks like. And you know, we were talking with Ricardo Gomez, the talent buyer for the festival, which all led to all of this. And one of us, somehow we were talking about, you know, are you trying to get Americans here? Is this a destination? Is this a place like you mentioned My Morning Jacket doing their destination weekend in Mexico City or other places many times? And it didn't sound like that was the answer to him as much, that it was. I mean, it's a city of 22 million people, Metro, Barry. It's unreal how big this place is. So to get 80,000 tickets sold seems like it wouldn't be that big a deal. Mexico's a little bit of a different environment than we're used to. But this, at the end of the day, I walked away saying, there, if you're going to travel for a music festival, this is just as good a place as any. If you're going to go to Chicago for Lollapalooza and say you're flying from Florida or wherever, you're going to – Mexico City is a two-hour longer flight, and everything is cheaper there. Every single thing costs less. No matter what you're buying, it costs less. And in America, we're so exhausted from price inflation hell that we deal with every single day of our life. And they are too. But it's just, what I'll get to more specifics on numbers later. Just it's a perfect place to go see a festival. Beth, what your thoughts on that?
And I am going to interrupt. Sorry, I can't help myself. Well, how long was your flight, Beth?
5 hours.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Direct. 5-hour direct flight, Aeromexico. Aeromexico is amazing, by the way. They gave me food, which really good food. So
pancakes,
that was exciting.
And stuff. I was like, I don't get
Yeah, I got
stuff.
Pancakes. Then I got pasta on the way back. They had a whole little kit. You never get
pasta.
The little kit anymore with all the little food in it. It was great. True VIP experience from beginning to end.
Yeah, I got
great.
Sun chips, but hey, I thought I was living large.
Yeah. Yeah, but direct flight from Seattle, I think prices are actually pretty good on flights. I mean, I would not say it's easy to get around in Mexico City, because the traffic is horrific.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And takes a really long time to get anywhere in an Uber. But doesn't cost very much to do that. So you get to see a lot of the city from cars, which we did.
About $20 will get you almost anywhere within a 20-mile radius in an Uber. But, you know, you've seen it in some videos that you're watching on, I don't know, History or National Geographic or something, where it looks like there's no lines in the road, but there's cars going like this every single direction. This is everywhere you're going. I don't know why there's not a wreck every single second I look out the window. Like, why is that not a wreck? Why did that not just turn into a snarled interstate or a highway? It's just the culture of driving, the chaotic nature of it. They just know how to do it instinctively, I guess. It's pretty impressive to see. close to scary if I didn't know I was trusting the scenario we were in. Mm-hmm. But a couple of things here just quickly to give it comparisons on the size of the city. So New York City is 8.5 million city, 19.5 metro, 19.5 million metro, which is just bigger than you can even imagine. Los Angeles, just under 4 million city, 18.5. So metro LA is big, but the city is much smaller. Chicago, 2.5 million, 10 million metro. So about half the size of New York. Mexico is almost 10 million city, 22.5 million metro. So it's just, it's a sea of, from the air, it's something to see too. Like, it's just beautiful and just, and also not so beautiful, depending on how you want to evaluate what you're looking at. Sprawling neighborhoods of neighborhoods we wouldn't normally be seeing outside of the city. And so it's interesting to try to figure out how the culture works, because we didn't get to see much of the city. I mean, I'm complaining about spending an entire day at a festival is what it sounds like. I promise you I'm not complaining, but we were there for 10 hours a day. I mean, we were there all every single minute of the day, basically. But I guess I'll quickly just start with, we'll throw up a few slides here as we go along. The stages were so impressive, guys. The Corona stage is enormous, and the sound is distributed throughout the grounds so well, better than Bonnaroo. Bonnaroo's just got problems because of the proximity of things, and they try to cram a lot into a small area, which they have to. Here, this racetrack, it's called do you have that, Beth? What is it?
Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez.
Which is
De Hermanos Rodriguez, which is Rodriguez racetrack.
Yeah, Rodriguez Brothers racetrack. There's a baseball stadium inside of this racetrack.
Wow.
I think Ricardo told us about this in the past, that you can put like hundreds of thousands of people into this venue, and they used, Corona Capital uses like a third of it. It's just decorated beautifully. Now, if you are the type that hates to see the overload of advertising and all that kind of stuff, which we talked about at length with Ricardo, you're going to hate it. You're going to hate it because you're getting blasted in the face, like LEDs, Times Square style, almost at night, can hurt your eyes a little bit. Like, that was a little bit much. But we're talking a $244 festival ticket. So I don't think their culture cares about those things. It doesn't appear that they do. But just to get through the stages quickly, Corona, Doritos, the Doritos stage, which sounds silly, right? I know. It was a gorgeous stage. Beth, you shot there from several times. Where did you get your best viewpoints from, the main or the secondary, Corona or Doritos?
Probably secondary. It was really cool to be in a giant situation like that with huge photo pit, 40 plus photographers. I think I was the only person who didn't speak Spanish. So that was really interesting for me to be in that situation, because I speak a little bit, but you're in a huge situation like at the What stage, where it's just so wide and you have to compose to try to get everybody in a shot. And then the Doritos was more like the Witch stage, but I think Doritos probably comparable size, maybe a little bit bigger than the Witch stage. And then the smaller ones weren't tents. They were stages also.
Yeah. The Doritos stage now would be, or where the Witch stage is now, I'd say they're comparable, but where the Witch stage we knew for 15 years, this is way, way bigger than that.
Yeah.
With big screens, great, just excellent sound, as we know the Witch has always struggled with sound, mainly because it's a built on location stage every time. They have to start from the ground up there. But the Corona Sunset stage, which that Sunsets is one of their newer beers, the best looking third stage I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure.
I forgot, I forgot to get a good picture in the daytime where you could see it a little bit better. This is the one you'll see here is with the Struts from England. They're my new favorite band, Barry. I'm going to be obsessing over this band for a while.
Nice.
You're going to hear about the Struts a lot.
You're going to hear.
Get ready I'm for gonna, it. Oasis then, is replaced with the
I
Struts
know.
Now.
More Eurotrash in my life. I needed it. And then by June of next year, you'll never hear me talk of the Struts again. but I met Luke Spiller, their lead guitar player, or excuse me, lead singer and primary songwriter. And boy, couldn't have been a cooler guy. The whole band was. They were doing the rounds with a lot of the, I guess it's hard to tell. Nobody spoke English, guys. Nobody, except for the people who were in our little caravan. And Chris and then Manuel, I've got his name here. I'll
Serrano.
Get to it before we, yeah. Serrano, Manuel. Outside of that, you're on your freaking own, guys. And so, like, it was hard to figure out exactly what you were listening to and as far as from the from vendors and those kinds of things. But, yeah, Luke did the rounds, and I just fell in love with the band. But
can I take you back a little bit and just talk logistics? So you fly in, right, which is different. Typically, we would drive.
Right.
Beth, you fly, do all that. But you guys, so you had to fly in, you get to the hotel. What's that? What's the hotel to the event like? How does that all work?
We went on and Beth, I'll let you take this over in 2 seconds. We went on a Friday. We left at Friday at like 1 or 2, which in major cities is all day Friday is a disaster. That took, it felt like forever, but Beth, pick up from there and talk about that travel in and out.
Also, I don't know if you want to go all the way to the beginning, but the Chapel Roan story too. As soon as we got to the airport, Jesus. We have the Chapel
Roan
story.
I half expected the phone call from jail from Brian. I need you
I
to
know.
Get me out.
Me too.
There's a lot of leads being buried here. In fact, I can't remember.
Yeah. So speaking of celebrity experiences, so I'm in the airport and you have to, so I had to check a bag because I have my camera gear. So I get my bag and you have to check your bags going out of the airport, not just going in. They scan the bags. So you put it on a little conveyor thing and it goes through. As I'm walking to this conveyor thing, somebody he doesn't really cut me off, but he sort of runs in really quickly and apologizes and he's in front of me. And I'm like, oh, no big deal. And then I thought that he was going to let me go. And I was like, oh, go ahead. And then he pulled in this other group of people, which included Chapel Roan. So she's right in front of me. We're checking our bags. So we're just standing there waiting for our bags to go through the scanner together. And we leave the airport. I meet up with Brian. I say hi. And I was like, oh, yeah, Chapel Roan was in front of me. Boom, he's out. So haven't seen him in months. See Brian for 2 seconds and he's like off. I just thought he'd kind of like, oh, look over and say, oh yeah, there's Chapel, you know, like
what? You just
be chill about it. But apparently there was no chill whatsoever. He just took off after and videoed her walking through the airport with all her bodyguards.
This is just funny. I had it different. I was like, just like, yeah, I think that's Chapel Roan over there. I was like, what? Yeah. Chapel Roan? Like, how can you say this so nonchalantly? Right. Hey, look, like there's Chapel Roan standing right over there.
Nice.
I gotta go. And so, yeah, I run and chase it down with the phone. Half a million views on TikTok, guys.
Nice.
Half a million views on my paparazzi video. 9 seconds with like 1,000 comments all in Spanish. No idea.
Mostly saying you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
a jerk.
Mostly saying, what's up with this asshole?
Yeah, leave her alone.
It was so quick. It wasn't that long. It all just fell together. But her story is correct. Her story is correct. I did run. I took off running. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But anyway, traveling there and back, Beth.
So we get to the hotel, which is gorgeous, by the way. It's a 1968, beautifully designed. I don't know the architect, but beautifully designed hotel. And it's 18 miles from the venue. Took us an hour and a half to get there the first day, I think. Pretty sure. Nice. So first day with the traffic, it took it took so long to get to the festival, which is not the fault of the people who were helping us and organizing this. It was just traffic.
Another Friday in Mexico City.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a long time to kind of hang out in the Sprinter van with the other journalists from different parts of the country and get to know them. And get to the venue and then credential.
Yeah, after that, no real problems. About a 20-25 minute drive or something like that. So that was really good.
Getting in and out of the festival, no issues?
Took a while to get credentials. We waited for quite a while to get that all sorted out. I had to trade in my passport to get a vest as a photographer. So I had to put on this press vest and then trade it back in for my passport at the end of the day.
Yeah, I would have had a panic attack if you said, "Hand me your passport, yeah, I'll give you this."
Like, I can't get home. This vest won't get me home.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No español, cool, no comprende. What? But she knew what she was doing, and it was all fine. But to quickly run through the sustainability, the kind of what we would consider a media walkthrough, Barry. It's a little bit more than that. It was more showcasing vendors, and they fed us at one of them for sure. But MindSurf does some mental health kind of mental wellness relaxation kind of boosts at many other festivals in Mexico City. Burgerlandia, which is Marcelo Lara, curated that space. Got a picture of him talking about, I couldn't understand most of what he was saying. It was some English, not entirely. The entire or OSA host, which if you have the full name of that acronym, I don't, but they're the
OCESA.
Yes. Samantha Konstadt, she was the one who took us around, showed us everything, and in the end with the Burgerlandia thing, fed us very, very well. Beth missed that. She was shooting some shots. And composting, recycling, a very, like, just very American feeling, like very kind of progressive liberal feeling kind of festival. And I don't mean that any other way than other than that those kinds of things are on the agendas of that type of mindset. And this entire festival felt that way. It was very clean, clean, clean,
very clean.
Clean, always clean, always clean. You know, even between sets, they had people on the grounds seemingly walking behind you, picking up after you. And speaking of grass and different kinds, this is a racetrack. So think of, you know, going towards like an oval and you got your two straightaways.
Mm-hmm.
In F1, in Formula One, they have those LEDs that go up over the straightaways. And so they're able to have signage on those walk. That's the walk in and out. And then around the curve, around the turn, is where the main stage is. So those concrete in and out straightaways were perfect for understanding, okay, well, if I just keep walking, you're gonna find your way back around. Yeah. Everywhere else over the entire grounds, it's covered with I don't want to call it mesh because it's not mesh.
It's kind of like felt, but like really strong felt.
Like
stuff.
A felt coating over the entire grounds. And when we first got there, I was like, well, this is going to be shredded into nothing by the time, you know, tomorrow gets here. Not at all. Completely holds up the whole time and just really makes for just a really level, even, it's even hard to explain how helpful it was, but there was no grass, there was no gravel.
There was some in that middle part. Remember, because there's a karaoke dome in the middle where people were singing amazing karaoke, and around that karaoke. there was some grass in front of that, but just in the middle of the racetrack.
Very little anyway, and it looked good. It held up good. And here's what I found out as being, I hate to admit it, I'm not proud of it. I'm a vapor. Long story, not proud of it. Anyway, I get there. Vapes are basically illegal in Mexico.
Really?
Yes. They have a very strict legal, laws on smoking in public places and vaping at all. Now, it's not illegal to have one in your pocket necessarily, but to sell, to trade in any kind of setting like that. And nobody in this entire festival was smoking or vaping.
Interesting.
I mean, I think it's fair to say nobody.
No, I saw a few.
Well, when I say nobody, it means like very few.
Got to qualify things a little
just
bit.
Just you and who?
I'm an English professor. You got to.
Yeah. Well, in a world where literally is never right, it's not nobody, but it's it is very, very close to feeling like absolutely nobody. And so there's not cigarette butts everywhere. There's and just a really, really interesting. Cultural way of handling that people handle themselves. Barry, so you'll appreciate this. So the bathrooms here, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the bathrooms, but
it's key.
They're pretty similar to any festival you're going to go to, the Portalettes, the Port-a-Johns, the Port-a-Potties, whatever you call them. Well, if you'll see in the back of that row here if you're watching visually, there's the white portion and not the blue portion. Well, those white portions, which is about a third to closer to a half of all of them, but less than half, those are open-doored troughs.
Yeah.
Like the old-fashioned, any college football game you've ever been to in the 1990s, 80s, 60s, 70s, and all the way till still some now, the troughs, which... Here in America, we don't really like those anymore.
Well, Russ, I mean, Shaky Knees had, I'd never seen, they had a section that was, sounds like it, the same thing, troughs.
Really?
Yep. They had an island, I'll call it, where you kind of walk in through a plywood wall type of thing, and there were troughs. And then the what I would call the porta potties were actual seated toilets. It kind of had this one's for the girls and this one's for the boys kind of vibe, right, Russ?
They actually had this too. They were separate.
I felt guilty going at first. I walked into one of the porta potties and I'm like, I don't want to be that guy that messes this up. So I went and found one of the troughs. So yeah, a different.
In stadiums in America, we're doing away with those. The troughs are going away, and they're being replaced. And I have not seen that at a current day American festival. I also don't go to a lot of city festivals these days. Point to this being, no lines every time I needed to use it over there, because I mean, what's a better way to leave women to the women and the men to the men, and you're flowing, except for Beth. I didn't know this. Tell them about the toilet paper situation.
Yeah. Two things about the bathroom. So one, they hand you toilet paper. So there were attendants, there's men and women. So the women's are all pink and they handed you a small amount of toilet paper. So it wasn't in there. They go in and they kind of spray it down and clean it for you before you go in. They smell great and they're very beautiful and clean. But I locked myself in porta potties twice before I figured out that the media area had our own bathrooms, and I was able to use those after that. So I could not figure out the lock mechanism. There was something about it that the first time the attendant had to rescue me because I just knocked on the door and she let me out. And the second time I just leaned into it hard enough that it popped open. But, you know.
Nice.
Could have been bad.
Yeah, they ration the toilet paper.
Sustainability.
Just like,
they're very committed to that.
There's not just like three or four of them in there like we would see, and then asshole is gonna throw it in this be a jerk about it, and so I don't I think there might be better way. They didn't give you much, right?
No, and I had some allergies, so I definitely needed more paper products than the average person that weekend, but. you know, made it work.
Just a couple things here. The group picture when we were done with Beth, sans Beth, she was not there for that doing, she was shooting a show, but at the main stay or the main, hello sign on one of those over of LED boards over the straightaways was, that was Saturday night. And, you know, these things were like an hour that we did just walk around and get a better idea what the merch thing. They have a whole bunch of recycle, reuse, refurbish kind of stuff with the merch thing that Samantha was telling us about. It was very loud. It was hard to gather all the information, but it was a good lay of the land. And just some things that'll pop up, video of the main stage. You can just see we'll get to VIP in a minute. Master class on VIP. We'll get to that here in just a couple of minutes, but you can see in some of these where that there's the infrastructure is so perfect here because there's already grandstands, there's already straightaway, like they call them cabanas, but they're really just more like big, think of like on the 18th hole of a major golf tour, kind of the gotcha. Big grandstand.
Yeah.
That kind of thing was where the VIP was to the left of the, I almost called it the what stage, the Corona stage. And, you know, just to speak to the sound again, like there was no, from the main to Doritos to Corona, so think what, which, no overlap at all. So you didn't have to worry about that. The other stages, the third main stage and then the two that were closer to tents, one actually was a tent, we're far off away from everything. So no bleed at all. And you could be 10, 15, 20 rows out like I was for Jerry Cantrell, or you can be 1,000, 1,500 rows out like I was by the end of Garbage, the band. And it's just, it's crisp. It's I don't want to say it's better than the what, because it's not. Nothing's better than the what, but boy, it's close. Right, Beth?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The way they did all the stages, definitely for traffic flow, because it is designed for people to move around that many people to experience that place. We also forgot to mention the mental health section. They took us into a little kind of chill zone, and they have actual mental health professionals available on site to support concert goers who may be overwhelmed by that amount of people in one place.
Yeah, I'm getting off track a little bit. We've got this is via the Corona Capital X account, just this beautiful aerial nighttime. It was full. It was impressively full. I would say I think one of the nights, I guess I'll pull it out right now if I can. Well, this is the final night. The Exclusier or whatever their paper is, that's the Linkin Park new lead singer. Every day they had full, and there's one with Chapel, but they had 78,000, I think, on one night. And I think the biggest night was maybe Sunday, over 80,000. So it looked full, and it was full, but it absolutely was not crowded.
That's like, going to be my question. You can move around.
I'll rephrase that a little bit. Mostly, once you get up by the Corona stage, especially on Friday night when the Foo Fighters are playing, that was kind of like, wowzers. I kind of need to get out of here. And I bet lines were really, really bad. And I'm going to give you some prices on what things cost here in a few. Probably then. But everything leading, that's every major city festival you're going to go to. All day leading up to it, you never felt crowded. They are out vending in like the old school ball games we would go to, Barry. They still do that in America some, but not like they used to because of cashless payments and stuff. That's much more difficult to have the vendors out amongst all the people. They were everywhere. Little Caesars, oh my God, they couldn't eat enough Little Caesars pizza in Mexico. So getting food, getting drink, getting bathrooms at any time, unless you went in the middle of the Foo Fighter set, was quite simple, I would say. A takeaway from the overall, what I expected, and I want Beth to talk about some of the shows she shot specifically here very soon. But I thought the Chapel Roan thing, was going to be one of the biggest things I've ever seen. I don't know why. I had just kind of presumptive, assumptive that, I don't know, Mexico would just lose their minds for Chapel Roan. And they did. A lot of people were very excited. There was a lot of LGBTQ there, which was great to see. There was a lot of people wearing the gear. But not really. It really was just, it felt like it was a bunch of rock fans who were there just to see what the fuss was about with Chapel. Not okay. Like this big day of, can you believe Queen Chapel's in our, you know, in our city and we're going to have this monster party. They didn't care that much. They cared enough to fill up the field and watch it. But I didn't feel that excitement. It kind of felt like, well, when's this over so we can go back to a 90s rock act, which I appreciated.
Yeah. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And then I want to get into the music specifically. Yep. But before we go, Beth, you kind of alluded to it. Was there a language problem? Was it a problem at all? Language barrier?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, luckily, I happen to have been doing Duolingo for most of this year, for like 3/4 of the year. So I was able to translate for us a lot. But in the hotel and the city and just going to ask for food on the street or pay for things, definitely needed Spanish to be able to help me get around. I think people would have translated if we needed it, but they definitely preferred that we speak Spanish, which is great. Because a lot of times you go somewhere, you go to Europe and they just speak English at you because they know that, you know, you're an idiot and don't speak the language. So
I was lost when I was walking around this near the a couple mornings around the hotel and just vendors and stuff. It's like they didn't like. What the hell's up with this guy?
Yeah.
Like, it was horrible. I thought, uno más?
Yeah, speak loud, right? Just loud and slow. That's the way it is. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk music. All right, so it sounds like the stages and the lineup and everything else was pretty typical what we would expect, right? Am I reading into that?
Mostly typical, but just, mostly typical, but really just, I don't want to say better than I thought, but really, really, really good. Like just very, very good logistics setup. And before we get out of here, VIP and a few prices, but we're going to talk some music for sure.
Yeah. Let's, well, go ahead and do that. And then we'll get into the music because you had said you were going to talk about that. What were the prices like?
Okay. Yeah. We can knock it out quickly. So a slice of pizza, just to give you an idea of where the difference is on numbers. It's even if once you pull it up on your phone and look pesos to dollars, it's still difficult to ever remember what 50 pesos is. And you know, like, tell yourself over, basically it's $3. 50 is $3. So that was my best way to do math. But even like 200 pesos, I'm like 3, 6.
right.
12. Like, and every time it was, but so 125 pesos is a $6.77 slice of pizza. 200 for a beer, which is $10.82. A 24-ounce Corona beer for $11. Wow. Bucks.
Okay.
Those are double that easily,
yeah.
If not $15 more than that. If you're in Los Angeles, if you're in New York, if you're in Chicago, you're going to pay $26 for that ridiculous 24-ounce beer. Early tickets, as I mentioned earlier, the first wave were $244. I went back and checked my Uber receipts, $19, and we took basically the same amount each time. $19 was one of them. $10.77 was another Uber ride. And the shortest Uber ride I took all week was the one from Chattanooga Airport to my house. And it was $52. $52. I live 10 miles from the airport. Yeah. Like 7 miles from the airport is $52. Wow. So 19, 11, and 52 down. Like, oh my God.
Wow, you should have called me. I'd have charged you 25.
Well, it was midnight, Barry.
All right, 35.
And then from Chris Vineyard's email, who he did a little wrap up for us and his thoughts, $19 parking for the day. You're going to get 50 if you're lucky. Yeah. Around here, $13 burger and fries, and most hotels and Airbnbs are going to be in the neighborhood, if unless you're wanting. We were in, they treated us right. They did us right. It was a very nice place. You want to go a little less nice? $100 a night. Not going to be a problem. So you ain't finding that in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, Boston, Miami, yeah, or anywhere like that. Right. So, but that, yeah, that's some pricing for you.
All right. And VIP.
Yeah, the VIP. So a couple of shots we'll throw up here that give it a kind of a look as we're talking about it. It's just beautiful. It's perfect. It's on that straightway down the left for the main stage, and it's just its own area. And it, if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't know what it is, which a lot of the festival goers probably didn't. And it's not in the way of the GA field at all. And that's the biggest complaint I have with VIP. I'm not mad about doing VIP. People who want, like, festivals that want to do it, that's a great moneymaker. Just don't infringe on your GA attendees. Don't mess up their time. Don't treat them like peasants. Don't treat them poorly. Don't make their sight lines bad, because you got to make sure the rich people get their better experience. Do both. Do both. And they really, really did this well. And they didn't really do the other stages. Beth, help me on this, right? They had a little bit on the Doritos stage of a VIP section, but not much. And the other stages didn't hardly have it at all. And so I felt like it was, I'd never seen VIP done better. For the people who were in VIP, which we were, and the people who weren't, it just didn't infringe on each other, and I love that about it.
So, Russ, you remember we had a brief conversation with a couple of people at Shaky Knees who did VIP, and they were like, meh, you know, didn't really get them much, right? Got them a little bit closer, maybe a cleaner bat. No, it was free water. I think that was what they were okay with, right? Otherwise, they were like, not sure I would do that again. I get what you're saying.
American festivals have not been doing well with VIP. It's like they've been, you know, here in Chattanooga, we don't do anything right, but our last one was horrible. And it's just, I don't know who's planning these things, and it's almost like they're just trying too hard to please the wealthy in this situation. And a concert, a long weekend festival, is not really a wealthy person's event. It is. They want to go. They want to be a part of it. But this is a poor man's event. This is a young person's event. This is a I'm stretching my dollar event, and I have not seen it done better. Nice. And I just marvel at how well they did it. And on that final night, we got the actual literal velvet rope VIP action. Like, hold on, we got to go get Manuel to talk to this guy. It was like, you know, get you out of here. And I was like, well, they told us we could come. And Manuel comes over there and talks it up. And it's like, all right, opens it up. It's like Wayne's World style, you know.
Yeah, we should have done that. That would have been amazing.
And we get up there, and it's fake plants and comfortable seating. Perfect view of the stage, free skybox, free drinks, free food. This was only for the Linkin Park show for us. I think some of them were there the whole weekend. Me and Beth just didn't get the memo until the end.
Typical.
So that's different. That's a whole different level of VIP. That's like, you know, the people who run the place.
Yeah.
But I had to mention it because it was so wonderful.
Nice. And,
it's really amazing.
Great way to end the festival. But yeah, if you're looking America, if you're looking to see how to do VIP, take a look here and take this model and use it as a template.
They did, right, by the way, have it at that other stage, because you mentioned they did have that big grandstand kind of thing at the other stage that we were on for Deftones also.
That's right. And they did have it for the Sunset too.
For the Sunset, right. Had a good one too.
It was same deal on all of them. They're not conflicting with each other.
Yeah.
And that covers most. I mean, I got a few random thoughts on the way out, but Beth's all more music than me. Shocking, right?
Well, so we're 50 minutes into this, and we haven't really talked about music. Tell us about your favorite shows, surprising shows, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I ever want to talk about. All right, so Garbage, Shirley Manson, it's amazing, still amazing. Garbage was fantastic. That was the first show I shot. Franz Ferdinand was amazing to shoot, too, because very energetic, as good as ever on stage. I got a do-over on Queens of the Stone Age, which is great, because that was one of the ones I was really excited about for Bonnaroo. We saw Cults, Taco, so I knew that that was one of your picks for Bonnaroo last year. So started Saturday with Cults. That was really fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
In the daytime. I think Oat and Freddie, which is an LA band with just a few singles, I think they are probably going to be on the Bonnaroo lineup this year, if not very soon. Felt like, I mean, I thought as good as Chapel. So going to be a big spectacle, awesome show. And I think they're writers for, they were kind of writers for other artists who now are doing their own project. So
yeah, you heard it here first. She's been saying this since the show. The next big thing in pop music is this band, which I still don't hardly know. I just looked up and I was like, that's very spectacle, visual experience.
Medieval kind of looking jester costumes.
What? Like what the?
Okay.
Hell?
But kind of 80s synthy sort of music and really fun party music. So I think they're going to be really big.
Nice.
Yeah, they were on the main Corona stage too in about 4 or 5 in the afternoon probably.
Yeah. I only saw them because the schedule shifted. So I thought I was going in to see, I think, Mogwai at that point, but the schedule had shifted with a couple of cancellations. So I was really glad I got to see them.
Yeah, Jelly Roll dropped. I was so bummed.
Jelly Roll dropped out. Three people dropped out, but they really covered for it very well. They just put people in and they changed the schedules and made that work.
I guess he shaved his beard off and he didn't show up, huh?
I know.
That was the big news all week is he shaved his beard.
Yep. That's big news. More so than 200 pounds.
And he's lost a bunch of weight. Yeah,
he's lost 200 pounds by exercising and eating vegetables. Sure he has.
Nice.
Yeah.
Continue, Ben. My bad.
I think it's going to be continue to be the year of what I call the Meet Me in the Bathroom bands, because there is this great oral history of New York City rock between 2000 and 2010. And those bands, Grizzly Bear, Vampire Weekend, TV on the Radio, were all here at this festival, and I think we're going to see that on the Bonnaroo lineup a lot too.
So interesting, because we kind of asked Ricardo who leads. Do they follow America festivals, or do American festivals follow them? So interesting. So we can look for clues.
I think so. I think it's about time for that nostalgia to come back around, because you're looking at Jet and the Struts, and they're in that universe also.
Yeah, I knew I was. I had a kind of a reverse memory of being a Jet fan when I was 22, 23, 24, because I was into Oasis. And then I forgot about them completely and didn't think about them for 2 decades. And then I listened and thought, oh, wow, I guess I do like this stuff. It's kind of trashy Oasis. They're Australian, but I call it kind of Brit pop rock. And so I got reacquainted going into the festival. The Struts, the Strokes, the Killers, the this, the that, the these, those, just another one of those bands. And I came away with that. And then Jerry Cantrell was one of my favorite of the weekend.
I was going to ask both of you, because, yeah.
Absolutely. That was amazing. Nice. He played an Alice in Chains song while I was in the pit, and I almost cried. I had to refocus and say, okay, I got a job to do. I got to shoot this show. But it was so exciting. Yeah. Love that.
And then, you know, so I was helping her a little bit and seeing music. I mean, I was there all day. I saw basically every band that was playing at least a little bit. But as far as full sets, Struts, Jerry, Jet, Weezer, And that's about it as far as full sets. Everything else was, you know, we saw the Shakes on a walk by, Foo Fighters for a little. Foo Fighters was just so crazy, I had to get out of there. We didn't have VIP for Friday, so we didn't know. Yeah. We're stuck yeah. with it. Now I'm like, God damn it, why was I over there on the right with all the... Anyway, sorry, I don't mean to sound like Brad Steiner.
Heaven forbid.
Who's also giving me shit about the Struts, too, by the way, which will surprise none of you. I was like, oh, man, I'm in love with this band. It's like, yeah, they've done every radio lame radio show in the last 10 years. Where have you been? I'm like, just yeah. go away.
Move on.
Go away. Love you, Brad. Go away. Anything else music wise, Beth?
AFI was my favorite to shoot. That was really great. There were catwalks going out into the crowd, kind of set up for chapel. And then after that, oh, and also we didn't talk about Linkin Park, but we both fell. I think Brian's finally a convert on this. I think that Emily Armstrong was a really great choice to include, not to replace Chester, but I thought it was a really smart move to not try to get another Chester because you can't, but to go a different direction. Female singer who can scream, can sing beautifully, has great stage presence. They seem
plays
really happy
too.
On stage.
Plays guitar.
She was really great in that role. So it was cool to see a band like Linkin Park at a stadium show like that.
I'm a convert. I just generally don't like changing the gender of a band. If it's a guy, I like it to be the guy. If it's a girl, I like it to be the girl. And so I thought maybe I don't know about this. She's got a vocal range that'll blow your mind away. It is insane. And Mexico City loves them some Linkin Park. That's so nice. Like, for everything I thought might be Chapel Night, that was more like Sunday. It. Like, people couldn't wait for Linkin Park. It was pretty impressive.
So last couple of questions. You guys obviously were treated very, very well. You got VIP experience. Thanks again to Chris. Thanks to Ricardo. Thanks to everybody. And we're very upfront. You got the special treatment. Would you go again? As just a regular GA buyer.
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
Bam. In a heartbeat.
I would. I mean, I just love shooting shows so much. It's really hard for me to prioritize going to a show where I don't have a photo pass. But I probably would. Because I'd like to see more of Mexico City, too. I would love to just experience more of that city.
Ding, ding, ding. That also, I need to qualify it too. I'm in love with the country of Mexico. I love everything about the country. And so I would do anything to go back to Mexico City or the Yucatan, especially. So that's a little bit of a qualifier. But as far as I'll reword your question. Brian, if you're going to go to a big festival this year, would you consider Mexico City and Chicago and LA and Miami and Boston and the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Because I didn't believe it at first. I thought it can't be that much cheaper. It absolutely is. So if you're wanting a destination, if you're wanting to see something outside of the norm, which maybe Chicago's outside of the norm for you, maybe LA. I mean, it would be for me, Chicago anyway, for a festival. I've never been to Lollapalooza. This is just as good of an option.
Overall.
And if you're an American, it's safe, you know, within the city, it's a safe place. If you're an American with money to spend, nobody's going to mess with you. Now brush up on your Spanish, cause they don't care if you know or not. Like if you go to Cancun and you go to some of those, Puerto Morales and some of those places up in the Yucatan and you're right there in the tourist area, they're going to know how to speak enough language of yours, the English. They're going to take all your dollar, your American greenbacks. They're going to do anything they can. There, they don't care. They don't care about your money. I mean, they'll take your money if you got it in your hand, but they're not going to try to be fair about it.
Gotcha.
But it's not even that. It's like, we deal in pesos. We're Mexico City. We're not Cancun. I'm talking for, you know, somebody who didn't say any of these things, but that's how it felt.
Which I respect.
It was,
I mean, we shouldn't go in expecting them to cater to us. No. So I love that they don't. Yeah.
No, I one night I was almost like in tears. I was like, I can't talk to anybody. I'm so hungry. Like, so,
like, I didn't go with him. I was editing photos. I should have gone along to translate.
It was a late night afterwards, and things were closed. Mm-hmm. And it is a big city at night. So when I say it's dangerous, it's safe. It is safe. Except for in the middle of the night, potentially. Sure, like, sure. New York City is not safe at 2 in the morning to be wandering around.
Yeah, neither is Chattanooga. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, I'm like, I can't talk. I can't even, like, I don't know anything. Brush up on your Spanish, but it's a fabulous place.
All right. Well, good stuff. Glad you guys got to do it. Russ and I are bitter. We're angry. We're hateful. we'll get over it.
Let me give you just a couple final random thoughts on the way out the door here, Barry. Sure. Sunday, well, I already mentioned, I believe, that seemed to be the most attended for Linkin Park. Friday was probably second. It was less of the soccer hooligan style thing than I expected. I expected a little bit more with the rock acts to be more of a, I don't want to say like the Oasis shows recently, because that was a different animal in itself. But it was less that. And boy, for the Americans that hate people who pull out their phones at shows, which a lot of you do, and I get that it's annoying, but it's just part of our culture now, and I do it too, and I know I won't stop. Phones everywhere. Oh, everywhere.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it looks cool. Everywhere. You know, it's just like a bunch of lights in the crowd. You just,
It looks cool. And I have no problem with this. I think you should document your life. You're given the opportunity to document your life. You should. But there are some of those, like, I'm going to hit record and stand
here. We disagree, but I get it.
Okay.
There was
a ton of that. Yeah, and so I wrote here, worse than Americans on quantity and quality as far as their phones go. Like, I'm sitting there watching, like, it's one of these. Put your phone away, dude. Like,
okay.
You're not getting anything like this.
Yeah, yeah. You're never going to watch it again.
No. in Linkin Park, I didn't know this until I read it later. 9 new songs from the new album, and they didn't play Crawling or Breaking the Habit, which are two of their bigger songs.
They just have so many songs. They have so much to work with.
But I'm with a festival set. If you're not playing Everything Everybody Knows, that irritates me. Didn't know that in the time. Love the show. Weezer, Jet, Chapel, Foo Fighters. They knew the assignment. They played They played stuff that everybody knows. And Linkin Park didn't exactly, but they rocked. And that's
cool.
Guess that's about all I got there. But it's very easy to think that the entire country just loves this stuff. Because that's how I was like, man, Mexico loves this. And we were sitting down with, we were calling him Max. But that's not his real, like, full name, Beth. At breakfast on the final day.
I thought his name was Max.
Either way, he's a big wig. He's a big wig in a lot of tourist stuff in Mexico City. And he said Gen Z is into Latin, EDM, their own flavor, culture, and version of EDM. The kids love the stuff. And they couldn't care less about a Linkin Park show. So it's very similar to America on that. So it's a lot of 35 to 55-year-old Mexicans at this festival. And very few Americans outside of our caravan. I mean, very, very few. Okay. Felt like almost none. Yeah. But
interesting. Yeah, we wondered about that. All right. Well, good stuff. Really interesting. I'm sure we'll revisit in future shows as details and of memories come back to you. Next week is Thanksgiving week. And then, like I said, we anticipate a Bonnaroo lineup very soon. And then
tickets. We got tickets to give away.
And we have tickets to give away. We'll have a contest. We're still trying to figure out the details for that. We're still asking you guys to give us a call if you've got suggestions, thoughts, whatever. Russ, what's that phone number?
423-667-7877.
Give us a call.
We've already gotten some calls.
It's can't believe it feels like it's on top of us. I mean, man, we're going to be doing this. It's right
and
on top of
quick,
us.
Real quick, let's mention, because Beth will be here for this, Main Times 24 in Chattanooga, December 6th.
Oh, yeah, if you're in the area, it's one of the coolest events that Chattanooga does. For
biggest
sure.
Party the, biggest party of the city of the year, and cannot wait for that. I'll be wearing my Mexico soccer jersey for my Christmas sweater this year.
There you go.
All right. Beth, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Especially getting up early. You could be asleep. She's way on the other side of the country.
What about me? I have to get up at early too, like 10:30 in the morning.
Whatever. I'm not hearing any whining from you. Right. You've had a pretty good year.
Yeah. Damn right I have. I've had a pretty good 2 years. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Please subscribe and like and all that stuff. It means a lot to us. Thank you for listening. And we will see you guys very soon. Mm-hmm.